Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept wondering what kind of a salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she, who is called barren, is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In October, it was Charlene and my privilege to be down in South Dakota and to visit the Mount Rushmore area and to see a bit of the Crazy Horse Monument and other attractions in that southern southwest corner of South Dakota. As we were traveling back and passing through Rapid City, so close to the Mount Rushmore Monument, we were on the interstate, and to my extreme delight, there was obviously a huge military and Air Force presence in that area. To my extreme delight, one of those massive Air Force fighter jets came just having taken off and zoomed right over top of us at very low altitude. The thunder of that engines was just tremendous, and we saw him go over. And then another one in the very same way, undoubtedly not flying at maximum speed, but yet coming right over top of us so that we could have a great view of the underside of that immense machine. Just in November, it was my privilege to visit in hospital a man who has attended with us for numerous Sundays and to learn that he is a retired pilot with Air Canada, having served for a number of years flying 767s over the Atlantic. That is a two-engine aircraft, and he said on one transatlantic flight, he lost one of those engines, but yet they were able to make it safely over and land in England. And then for the last part of his career, he delighted me in saying that he flew 747s, and he says, "But not the big ones." And I says, "Big is big, you know, big is big." And he had quite a fascinating career in aircraft captaincy. Well, yesterday, once again, flying in the skies, I hope you may have seen it, nine of the snowbirds doing their practice runs, and much to the delight of the parade crowd, and not just one pass, but going around numerous times, and then for them to be making an appearance later today. Well, here it is. Man loves to show his stuff, to show off. And it's intriguing to see what man's hand has done. But Luke is telling us a story. He is laying out before us something which supremely surpasses anything that this world could say. How often have you told a story, and at the end of it, someone would say, "Oh, you think that's great? Let me tell you." Well, here it comes. God surpasses, God bests anything that this world could possibly come up with. But he does so as he does so well. He does it quietly. He does it in secret. He does it behind the scenes. And it takes place for those who have ears to hear and those who have the eyes of faith to see what God is up to. Luke is telling the story, and he fills us in on so much of the background material. Last week we considered how that the angel Gabriel came to Zacharias. And Zacharias, he was puzzled. He knew the usual course of how that babies came into the world. And he knew that except for Abraham and Isaac, or Abraham and Sarah, that old men and old women don't have children, especially if they haven't had one earlier in their marriage. But God had a plan. God was working out his design. Now here, once again, we have the story picking up with Elizabeth now in the sixth month of her pregnancy. That same angel, Gabriel, comes not to an older man, but to a young woman, a virgin, who is engaged, about to be married, and the woman's name was Mary. And of course, we have the angel, first of all, saying, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And Mary puzzles. She wonders, what kind of a greeting is this? "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." How is it that Mary was a favored one? We have no indication that previously there was any special notoriety of Mary. She isn't mentioned in the Old Testament, and she isn't given any special accolades. Here, simply, God was looking down upon her and say, "I want to be with her." She was not one who was especially involved in temple service. She was not one from a place, a geographical spot of notoriety. It was simply God looking down at a place called Nazareth, a place that others would say, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" That was the type of attitude that was common among the people. Nazareth, a nowhere type of place. But God looked down and said, "There is the woman, there is the young woman who will be the mother to Jesus, by whom the Savior of the world will come into the world." Perplexed, of course, and she pondered. But the angel says, "No fear, Mary. Favor with God you have. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Six things are especially told to Mary here about Jesus and what would he would be like. First of all, there, of course, is the name, "a son, and you shall call him Jesus." Jesus comes from the Old Testament name Joshua, both of them meaning Savior. Joshua, he was the deliverer. He was the one who brought the people into the land. Jesus would be, in a different sense, the one who would bring people who were shut out into God's blessing and into heaven itself. Second of all, we are told that Jesus, this son who Mary would bear, would be great. He would not be just a nobody. He would not be just an ordinary Jewish man or a rabbi, though of some distinction. He would be great. Thirdly, he would be called the Son of the Most High. Unmistakable here. The Most High was one and only God himself. Fourthly, the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. But not only to give him the throne as a way of saying, "Look, you can sit on the throne, but really you have no power, the angel also comes and says, he will reign. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. He will have the authority and not just the title. He will be the one who exercises that authority. And his kingdom, sixthly, will have no end. There's not going to be an end. Other things have come and gone, but this one will rule over a kingdom for which there will be no successor. He will be the one who will reign for all time. Mary says to the angel at this point, how can this be since I am a virgin? Now, some people wish to dismiss certain parts of the Bible. They would want to dismiss the resurrection because they can't possibly believe that God would raise anyone from death, that death is dead. You know, dead is dead, and that's the end of it. So very often the resurrection gets dismissed. The miracles of Jesus get dismissed because that works against all of the laws of nature, and God just isn't like that. And then the virgin birth gets dismissed because that just doesn't fit in with modern science and all. These people, they were rude and they were crude. They were uninformed. They were ignorant. And so they wrote what they imagined happened. But we know better. Well, here Luke, think about this. Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. And he is the one who takes most peculiar interest in this, that Mary did not have a husband, that she was favored of God, that she had been faithful to the Lord. And three times in these very brief verses, we have it brought out that this was a virgin. Twice in verse 27, a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And then once again in verse 34, Mary says to the angel, how can this be since I am a virgin? Now, Luke understood how babies usually come into the world. Mary understood how babies usually come into the world, and she's perplexed because she knew that there had not been any impropriety on her part there. The angel, you know, an angel would undoubtedly know these things, that certain things need to take place. But here, the point is brought out. This is no ordinary conception. This is no ordinary child who is coming. Savior of the world, great, Son of the Most High, reigning on the throne of David, reigning for all time over the house of Jacob. This one is without parallel. This one is absolutely unique in the most perfect sense of the word unique. There is no other. How can this be? The angel has the answer for Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Think about those words that the angel, and Mary is pictured both here and at Bethlehem. She is portrayed as one who ponders, who ruminates, who considers what is said to her. I'm sure those words sunk deep into her heart. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. What the angel was saying, and what physician Luke is recording and impressing upon Theophilus, as well as all else who would read, is that here is one who is coming divinely orchestrated of God into the world to be the divine remedy, the divine answer to a need so deep, so huge, so massive, so unmanageable by our standards. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Most High, Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Here we have the Trinity all working together to see Jesus, the Redeemer, the Savior of the world, to come and to be the answer for you and for me. Elizabeth is also brought into the picture at this point. Not sure whether Mary, though not at a very great distance, had heard of what was taking place with Elizabeth. But the angel brings Mary into the picture. Elizabeth has also conceived in her old age. She who was barren is now in her sixth month. And once again, verse 37, which we highlighted last week, for nothing will be impossible with God. You see, when Jesus walked on water, the laws of gravity were suspended, as when he lifted up off the Mount of Olives and ascended into heaven. And at other times, there were times when God suspended the natural laws of our world. And here, in the coming of Jesus to be born of Mary, not through the natural process of conception through Joseph, as Jesus' brothers and sisters would be, here we have God sending his Son to be born of a virgin, to be born in this way, that there would be absolutely no mistake that this one is perfectly unique. Now Mary says, "Behold the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel, Gabriel, departed from her. Now I need to be very careful in what I say next. Here in chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel, we have this background material taking place. And we have, on the one hand, an older man who has difficulty accepting what the angel has to say. Mary also, we must say, is perplexed and wonders at what kind of a greeting she receives. And she's baffled that she is going to conceive in her womb a child, a son, because she is a virgin. But she says to the angel, "Here I am. Let it be just as you have said." Years can harden and years can soften. I suspect you have observed this just as I have. I have seen a married couple. The man is somewhat surly. He is outspoken. He can be crude. The wife, as tender and as gentle, as kind-spirited as her husband, is the opposite. Through the process of the years, I have seen it where the man has become soft-hearted and tender. Tears suddenly come into the eyes, and the woman, unfortunately, becomes somewhat mean-spirited, sometimes as because of dementia. Sometimes years can harden the heart. Sometimes years can soften. I have a very tender place in my heart for men such as Zacharias, and even for those such as Pilate, who have seen much, who have seen the natural course of things that take place in this world. And they wonder, and it's difficult for them to receive these things. It highlights to us the tenderness of Mary, and it highlights to us that in our youth, to our children, to our teenagers, to our young adults, there needs to be this most urgent appeal. Serve God now. Serve God now. Surrender to Him. Lay your life before Him, even as Mary did here at this point. Don't leave it off to another time. Don't leave it to a time when the years can form a crust, when the years can harden the heart, when there can be disillusionment, when there can be a tendency to push these things away, to say, well, I've seen too much, I know how things work usually. I just can't buy that. Zacharias, the angel, dealt kindly with him. In the plan of God, he continued to be the father of John the Baptist. But how much better that response, that eager response of Mary. Behold, the servant of the Lord. What a great statement that would be for each and every one of us, that we would say, Lord, whatever it is that you have in mind for me, whatever it is that you desire for me. In the marriage ceremony, we say, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death us do part. There should be that also in our commitment, not simply to our spouse, but to the Lord, to say, for richer, Lord, whether my path lay in the way of abundance or for poorer, Lord, whether you give me precious little of this world's goods. In sickness, whether my way leads quickly to a hospital bed or whether I enjoy remarkable health, I will love you, I will cherish you, for as long as I am given breath, I will be yours. The Apostle Paul was famous for starting his epistles, his correspondence, identifying himself as a bondservant, as a bondslave of the Lord. Here, Mary even gets the jump on Paul, and she says, behold, the bondslave. I am his. I am sold into his service. Let it be exactly as according to your word. Well, that was good enough for the angel. The angel Gabriel zips back to heaven, and I'm sure that he had a glad report to give when he returned from his trip. What about you? What about me? How do we respond to the Lord when things come that are puzzling, when things come that are baffling? Is it, oh Lord, that's just not the way it works? Or is it, Lord, here I am. Here I am. You know my address. You know my phone number. Anytime, Lord, I am yours. Oh, let your response be, here is the bondslave of the Lord. Isaiah was called into service, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he heard the question, who will go for us? Who will enter into divine service? Whether it be in your office or schoolroom, or whether it be in your home or community, whether it be to your family or neighbors or to your enemies, who will be Christ's hand extended? Isaiah's response has thrilled people for 25, 2600 years. Here I am, Lord, send me. Let that be for you as well. Lord, we come before your word and we give thanks once again for how that Luke shares with us these stories behind the scenes of how that you worked bringing John into the world, how that he would be the forerunner, how that behind the scenes there was this tenderness in Mary's heart. And there was no mistake whatsoever that this was God's son, a man of intelligence, a man of education, of training in the medical field. He was not baffled by this. He believed the story that he heard to its last detail. Lord, I pray that our hearts also would delight in knowing that this is the most fantastic story, the most remarkable, the most unique story of all time. Christ coming into the world, born of a virgin, for nothing will be impossible with God. So may we grasp that, and may our hearts rejoice in it. And Lord, for whatever we face, whatever trials or struggles, whatever challenges there might be, may we know that we serve a mighty God, mighty to save, mighty to keep us, mighty to provide the answers that we need to the problems and the struggles that we face. Oh Lord, may our trust ever be strengthened in you, and may we give you praise by how we think, by the way we speak, by the way we act. In all things, may you be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.